Okay. Interview with Chetra, September the 1st, going on the 2nd, 1989.
Okay, let's just start with, first of all, I wanted to ask you about your father's business. You said he was a jeweler.
Mm-hmm.
And how did he learn to become a jeweler? Was he working under somebody else, or did a relative teach him, or?
Again, he was born in the countryside. Prairie was one of the remote areas. But he has a relative in Phnom Penh, and he learned the skill from his relative in Phnom Penh. But then after he became a monk, he was a monk for 4 years. And after being a monk for 4 years, he started learning the skill. And he learned the skill before he met my mother. So it's through relative, no particular academic training or anything like that.
What kind of work did your, like, uncles do, your dad's brothers do?
Oh, he owned a store too, a jewelry store, where they make all the necklace, earrings, bracelet. And then my father worked with him as a worker, having the store and making the jewelry. I don't remember if he got paid out of that at all, or he just could have worked with him for learning, because a lot of Cambodians, when they were going through that, they don't get paid, but they get to learn the skill. That's one of the benefits that a lot of people go through, a lot of technical skill like that.
Something like what we'd call apprenticeship, you know, where somebody learns the skill.
Right, and usually they don't get paid. They get probably they, I'm not sure about my parents, but usually this kind of learning, you get free food and free food and boarding. The house to live for free.
Did any of your older brothers show an interest in the craft, you know, that your dad was doing at all?
Not at all. I think because my father did not motivate anybody to go into his field at all. He emphasized so much in education, and I guess because of that, usually, it's very, very uncommon in Cambodian society, because usually we learn a lot of things from parents, and either one or two children would learn the skill from parents and continue the business. But it's strange that my father, none of the children learn the skill or has the motivation to learn his skill at all. I myself have no interest in learning the skill, because my parents always emphasize education more. I still remember my mom told me about what my father had to say to the children, that education first. And if you have education, and then if you want to open a business of your own, you can do that later, but not before your education. Mm. Despite the fact that my father did not have a lot of education, but he really wanted children to get education first, and then make their own decision if they want to open a business or they want to work for somebody else.
So his education was basically the monk?
The monk, when he was in the temple. That's for 4 years. And I don't remember he had any other formal education at all. When I was 6 or 7 years old, my father, because that was in 1967 or 68, there's a great need for education, and they opened school where women go to school at night to learn learn Cambodian character. And my father was asked as a volunteer to work to help out these women, including my mom, to learn writing in Cambodian and reading Cambodian language.
So a lot of the older people from the farms, or a lot of the people couldn't read Khmer?
No. A lot of them, you're right, a lot of them cannot read and write. And in late 1960, there's a great movement. This is, I'm not sure it's motivated by the government, a CNO government, but it's a great move, not just in Phnom Penh alone, but in the countryside as well. A lot of people start going to school and learning. Most of these are older people too. Other people was married, having children, and they know that education is available to them, and they start going back to school. But this is not a formal French system of education. This is usually in a Buddhist temple, where women gather and men who can read and write volunteer to do the teaching. It's not like a systematic education that we learn in school. It's not that.
It would be something like night school or something like
that. Right. And this is on volunteer basis.
And your father was asked to...
My father volunteered to do that for 2 years. I'm not sure. It's 2 or 3 years during this period.
So he was teaching then on a volunteer basis?
On a volunteer basis. It's not a formal education, but helping older people to learn the Cambodian character so they can read and write.
Why do you think your father found education to be so important for, you mentioned the reasons why, but for himself, why would you think he would find it so important for his kids to have an education? He stressed this so much.
Right, he stressed so much. I think because a good example that I myself got influenced by was Hu Yun himself, who was self-learned and got scholarship to come to a Western world and study in France and got a degree in France. And he went back home and he got a lot of respect. I guess mainly money, of course, is education, the money as we discussed earlier. But I think the respect in the community, and at this time there's a great need for educated people because French are moving out of the country. And in 1960s, there's a great need for Cambodian educated Cambodian to hold a government office. And as my father, business, he did not make enough profit to be a rich man as he wanted, despite the fact that he had enough money. enough money to support our children, but when he looked up to the educated people, they tend to live a better life. easy job. Owning your business, of course, you can open the door at any time you want to. But there's a lot of headache behind it because you have to control the business. And if you lose your business, then you don't have any other skill. But if you have education, you you may not get a job in one place, but at the same time, you can have a job at another place.
Mm-hmm.
But in his particular field, it's hard for him to move from to change because he has only one skill. And again, it's the respect from other people.
Well, his own respect, like you had mentioned, Hong Yun.
Right, Hong Yun himself got a lot of respect after he got it at his degree in France.
When he visited your house, did he ever tell you, or tell your father that, make sure your kids finish school, or, did he talk about education ever when he came to your house, if you remember at all?
I don't quite remember a lot they talked in front of me. Usually, being a child at the age of 7 or 8, he always say that education is good, it's very important, you should retain it. But he never get into a detailed adult talk to me, and I don't know how much he talked to my father about education.
Mm-hmm.
But my father always emphasized education first before money.
For your father though, did you okay? He knew what was going on in the country at the time. Your father did. Did you see him ever read the paper, listening to the radio, and what things did he do?
Well, besides just selling and making all the jewelry, he tried to keep informed with what's going on with the newspaper, despite the fact we don't have a lot of newspaper circulation around.
Mm-hmm.
But he tried to keep as informed as possible. He had his radio, he listened to the news. He liked music too, but he liked classical music.
Which type?
Cambodian classical music. I think at his age, I was going out, he's pretty old at that time. He liked classical music. He interested, besides making money and supporting family, he interested in social work. He been a good support to the temple. I guess because he spent 4 years being a monk, because of that, he spent a lot of time in the volunteer work in the temple, helping out organize what's going on in the temple and have raised money to build the temple. So he has a deep interest in helping out this social life.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I guess because of the background, he spent 4 years being a monk, his earlier age.
Pretty much changed him then. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm.
And again, despite the fact he's making his own, owning his own business, but money was not the ideal life that he wanted. He's very content to what he had. Didn't have a lot, but
he was content. But
yeah.
This makes sense. Okay, he was a monk. This brings in a question of what, if any, form of religion did you have in your house? Did you
did the, what types of things do you remember about religion being in your house?
Oh, I would say we're a very religious family too. My mother herself got so involved with what my father doing in the temple, raising and organizing, helping the temple to grow. And both of them have very similar interests in terms of religions. And we practice Buddhist at home. Not to the point where we chant at home, and you know. But my mother pray a lot to Buddha. Whenever there's sickness or whenever our family is going through a difficulty in the family, understanding each other, or financial problem, I saw my mom pray a lot. Until today, she's still praying to the same God she believes in. So I grew up in a religious family. It's not the richest, but it's religious because of my father background being a monk for 4 years.
Does your house have a little temple or altar?
A little shrine. Yeah, we have a little shrine outside the house in front of the little shrine usually. We build that little shrine not to the Buddha, but to the angel who surround us, peace and harmony. So when the angel come, they can have the place of their own, and we put flower there. My mom put the flower in there and burn the incense and candle. And it's, I would say that we have a religious family, religious family.
This was outside where you had this little thing?
Yeah, the little whole thing, mm-hmm. Little shrine. I guess because my parents did not live only for money. I myself never seen my parents fight. And based on my mother, she said she hardly has a misunderstanding between husband and wife. I myself never seen them fight. I don't know why, but probably the same religious interest that they have.
So they were both deeply involved with, like, helping out the law.
Right.
Brings it, okay. How do I ask this? Or, if you were having, say, your yourself at school, if you had any problems or anything, who would you be most likely within the family to speak with? Speak with your brothers or your sisters, or how would that work?
I myself close to my mother, so. Since the time I remember anything at all, every time I have prom, my mother is the first to know. So when I'm in trouble, I run to my mother.
If you're in trouble with your brothers or something.
Right.
Okay.
I'm very close to my father too. And again, being the youngest in the family, I got a lot of attention.
So you would be able to talk to them, and in case you had to.
Right. I, I guess because I was still young too during this period. This is before the war. Not before the war, but before the Khmer Rouge take over, I was still young too. And a lot of things I share with my parents. I guess when people go older, when they reach an age of junior high or high school, they tend to be a little further from the parents. I reached that age when I was in the communist regime already, so I was still young, and a lot of things I go to my parents, I share with my parents. And my father's very close to me too. And again, I guess I'm the youngest, and I got more attention than my brother and sister.
Did you have your own room?
No, I don't. We have a house. Cambodian house is not like American house, divided in small compartments. Mm-hmm. I hate the use of compartment or something. Mm-hmm. But it's divided in so many rooms. We have a living room, but it's really don't have a separate, complete separated room, because even the wall itself, you don't have the sealed wall like American house, you know. So I don't have my own room. I have to share the room with my two brothers, my sister. My two sisters, they have their own room. And since there's seven people in the family, so, and we did not even have a big house. We just have
Yeah. I hope it wasn't the food. okay. Tell me about, say, a typical meal. Did everybody come home for dinner, or, you know, did you have breakfast together, or how did your...
Well, breakfast. Okay, let's start with breakfast, because it's the first meal to eat. Okay. You don't have breakfast like American family, but the children and all the American working family have breakfast together and then go all good food. No, it's a business family, so children, and especially my family, I guess, we don't have breakfast together. Whoever, and again, it rice 3 times a day, so as long as breakfast we should eat rice. But we don't have the sitting around the table together. Usually my mom doing the cooking and all of this. But when I was growing up, my sister, the oldest one, is taking care of the cooking, and the next sister also helping now. My mom was not doing the cooking very often, because she spent most of her time helping my father business. But we don't have a together meal. At lunch, yes, everybody come back home. Cambodian school is not like American school. We take lunch to school now. Children come back home and eat at home. At lunchtime, we eat together. There's two meals that my father wants us to sit around the table. We have the table. Everybody sit by the table. Two meals a day only, lunch and dinner. Lunch, my mother preparing lunch. And dinner, usually my two sisters having with the dinner.
But your whole family was there.
Right, for the two meal, mainly for the two meal. And especially my father really emphasized on the dinner, that everybody should be by the table, because he liked to talk around the meal time too. What's happening in school, what's going on in life.
Let me
again, my father is a very oriented person.
He's a student.
Family oriented.
Oh, family oriented. Okay. Right. Let me ask you this. Was your father the type of man, when he spoke at the table, everybody listened? From what you remember.
To the point that but you have to be quiet. Not really. We joke around the table too. My brother and my two sisters. I'm the youngest. I don't get to talk a lot. But my father, he's not serious all the time, but he's serious. He open to joke and all of this around the table. We listen to him most of the time during the meal time, but he doesn't require that they have to be totally quiet at the table. No, it's kind of semi-formal. Situation around the table, you know, you don't have to sit quietly and nobody can get up and all that. No, you can talk. My brother, especially, they talk a lot.
This brings up a point here. Your brothers now, you said in our last talk that they were they were aware of the demonstrations going on in their schools.
Right.
Okay. Did they ever talk about this at home? From what you hear?
Oh, they talk about what's going on at school at home too. But not to the great detail. You know, basically they talk just what's happening in school, as we can all find out from the newspaper and all. It's just he. Both of them share very little with the family. I'm not sure because of my parents. I don't think because of my parents. I think because the knowledge they have about the movement. Usually, they don't have detail or understanding clearly what's going to happen or what ideology they're learning. It's not very secretive, but it's not quite clear. Handing information down to students about this movement.
The movement being
what happened in Lon regime, the movement during in the school.
The opposition. Say that.
Right.
How? Sorry, I have to get detailed here, but how did your father respond to this? Your brothers came home from school, talked somewhat about what was going on, the opposition and stuff. How did your father deal with that? From what you recall.
By this time then, my father, he still have a lot of interest in what's going on, but he doesn't have the clear picture of what's going on, and his response was not quite clear. He did not tell my brother either not to join or to join. He tend to listen most of the time, and he hardly make any suggestion at all about either his children should be with the opposition or should be in the organized student organized group or should probably because my brothers were old enough to make their own decision at this time. And my father gives very little. give very little idea of his own. I don't remember him telling what my brother should do or should not. I don't remember that at all.
But he understood what was happening. Your dad knew what was happening.
Well, he knew what happening because, but not to clear detail. Basically, he